Heard last night and about peace. I really feasted on that. I'm thankful for the peace of God in my heart and soul. You could ask my wife if I have the peace of God in my heart. And I believe she'd tell you the truth. Is that right, dear? Anyway, we thank the Lord for the privilege of being in the service of God. Not very many of us here, but thank the Lord for everyone that is here. I want to bring forth some things for you, and I trust the Lord will bless our endeavors and speaking, that it might be clear and understandable. I have my thought, the thought I have is hearing. Hearing. You know, it's something how the Lord made, created us. There's a scripture in Proverbs 28 and 9. It says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Then there's another scripture in 20 and 12. "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." Now let's think about this a little bit. Everyone in this house, in this room today, we have ears, don't we? How many ears do you have? You have two ears. These two right here. You ever think about how the Lord created those ears? How He shaped them? He was wise in His design, wasn't He? He had these ears shaped so they could catch the sound. And the hearing process is a marvel too. Because your ear, as you hear, it has a transmission, it goes to your brain. It's all connected up. Now, nobody but a great and marvelous, wise, intelligent God could have designed such a thing. It didn't just happen. You have two ears. And it says the Lord made the ears, the hearing ear and the seeing eye. The Lord made both of them. Your eyes is another wonderful marvel. You have two miniature movie cameras in your head. And they are also sending signals to your brain. That's right. So we have the hearing ear and the seeing eye. You have them. But I want to tell you something. You've got two and maybe even more other hearing apparatuses in your being. You've got a spiritual ear. An instrument that God has given you and me to be able to get the signals and the message and the truth and the thoughts that He wants us to hear. You can hear it with this ear, but if you don't hear it with that one, you're not getting it. Hear. May the Lord help us to take heed that we hear. Now, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 7. I'm going to read here something that I'd like for you to follow along with me as I read it. This is something that happened to Isaiah, and what is so serious and important about it is our Lord Jesus Christ took a part of this chapter in His ministry. That's why it's so necessary. So while we read this, let's open our ears, and at the same time, Lord, open up my heart's ear. Can we do that? Do you have a prayer that way? Do you pray for the preacher? How many, don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you prayed for the preacher this morning? Well, if you didn't, well, Lord knows all about it. But here's one person that has. Isaiah 7. I want you to listen. If you have a Bible, read it along with me as I read it. Watch it. It came to pass in the days... No, that's not the one I want. It's the 6th chapter. I'm sorry. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. You know anything about that King Uzziah? You ever read about him? He got lifted up and tried to do something that the priest was alone to do in the temple. And God's judgment smote that man, and he was a leper until his death. King Uzziah. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah had this vision of the Lord. Ahiah says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The skirts of his garments, his clothing, filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain or 2 he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he covered his... He flew. He used 2 of the wings to fly with. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, incense. Then said I, Woe is me! See, the vision of the Lord's greatness, his awesomeness, and his power, it struck Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. Now listen to what the Lord says to him. And he said, Go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat or dull. And make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes. lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Now, think about this. What's the Lord saying? Why does He say this? Go and tell this people. You hear, but you don't understand. You hear it, but you don't understand. You see it, but you don't perceive. Make the heart of this people fat, dull. Close their eyes, shut their ears, lest they see and hear and be converted and be healed. Now, why would the Lord, God Almighty, want that kind of a ministration? Looks like He'd say, go and tell the people all about it. Go and tell them, tell everything about it. He didn't say that. Go and say to these people, you hear, but you don't hear. Close their ears. Close their hearts. All right, now let's go on. Let's read on a little more. Then said I, Lord, how long? What do you mean by that? How long am I going to do it this way? Instead of trying to enlighten the people, I'm going out and I'm going to close their ears. Instead of showing it, I'm going to hide it. How long? Listen. I've read this many times and I still got questions in my mind about it. But I can see what the Lord is dealing with, though. When it comes to humanity, people, human beings like you and me, we've got a problem. The Lord has a problem in dealing with humanity. Why? It's because of too many foreign intruding elements and influences that will go against the influence of His Word. That's the truth. Youthful desires, lusts, worldly attractions, selfish aims, covetousness, love of money, all kinds of evil desires, lusts and pleasures, those things contradict and go in and hinder people from hearing the most wonderful message, the most wonderful truth that can ever be uttered. The eyes are blind. The ears are deaf. The heart is hard and closed. This is serious business here we're dealing with. Lord, how long? How long are you going to do it this way? Let's see what He said. And He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. What's this world about? Did you ever think about it? Why would the Lord want that kind of a condition? Until the cities be emptied. Until the man has moved men far off. And there's a great forsaken. The land is desolate. Something else. Listen. But yet in it shall be a tenth. And it shall return. Till the city's being wasted and without inhabitant, just teach it like that. But in it shall be a small part that will return. Now listen. And shall be eaten as a teal tree. Now I don't quite get what the teal tree about it. Or as an oak whose substance is in them. Substance. The lifeline of a tree. Where is the lifeline of a tree? Is it in the trunk? Well, if you think it is, you better do some studying, because it's not. The lifeline of the tree is on the inside, the inner part of the trunk, and down into the roots to eat of the substance of the soil, and it brings it up and goes in and out into the branches and the leaves and the fruit. The inner part. It shall be a tent and it'll come back. What is this saying to us? It is saying that God's message, when He gives His message, there's going to be some people that's not going to receive it and understand it, and it won't mean a thing to them. In fact, the majority of people in the world, the big majority of people, that if you go out and just tell it things of the gospel and the word of God, it wouldn't mean one thing to them. That's the way it is. Are we going to be that way? This is serious business, what I've got into here. It makes you tremble in your soul. But I'd like to, especially our young people, to encourage you to take heed to this thought. The hearing ear and the seeing eye. These are functions of the body that God gave us. But we need to have something more than just hearing it with the literal ear. We need something more than that. We need a heart that's reaching out. We need a mind that's opening up. We need spiritual eyes that's illuminated. We need spiritual ears that's open. Now, I want to go, and some of you probably know where we're going to go now. I want to go to where Jesus used this text. You know where it is? Matthew chapter 13. Also Mark chapter 4. And also Luke chapter 8. Each one of these tells, but Matthew goes into a greater, better way of bringing it out. So let's go to Matthew 13. I want to read a little bit to start. I'm not going to read all this, but someday you have some time on your hands. Take this and read it. And do some thinking about it. Do some serious thinking about it. The same day went Jesus and out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes, now listen to this, great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Can you picture that? A whole multitude. I don't know how many. So one time he fed 5,000 men besides the women and children. They'd been listening to him teaching. Now, I don't know if there was that many, but that's a big bunch, isn't it? All right, now listen. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Parable. What's a parable? It is a expression that pictures a much more important truth. You can have the parable, but you don't have quite what's the thing he's getting at. What is this? All right, he spoke to them in parables. That's how Jesus did to all these people. In one place he said, I believe maybe the latter part of this chapter, he said, without a parable he wouldn't speak to them. Now let's read this parable. This is the parable he spoke. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And other fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit, and some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Now listen to what he said. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That was his discourse right there. And it is evident that, I think some of the other Gospels speak, is evident that he left them and went and sat in a house. Did you read that? The sower going forth and sowing the seed. Some fell by the wayside. The birds came and picked it up. Some fell upon this stony ground. And it sprung up real quick because it didn't have much depth of earth. But after a while, withered away, didn't have enough moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some fell on the good ground, it came up real good. Some 100, some 30, some 60, and so forth. Now, what's the deal? Can't you imagine the disciples hearing him say that and then with him withdrawing and going up into the house and what's going on here? How does he expect anybody to get anything out of that? What is it? Well, let's go talk to him. And the disciples came, verse 10, and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Master, why did you do that? Now let's notice what he said. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know, to understand, to perceive the depths, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. Therefore, let's see, wait. Verse 12. Now listen. I want you to listen to this verse. This is a key verse, key thought. He said, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Therefore, he said, I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the saying of the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, before I go on with that, I want to mention something. This verse, him that hath, whosoever hath, is mentioned two different other times in Christ's teachings. One was about the talents. He gave 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And the ones that had the 5 and the 2, they went out and they worked with them and traded and worked with them and brought one that had 5, he brought 5 more. And the one that had 2, he brought 2 more. Now that's in Matthew 25. And I'm not able to pull it right now, but there's another time that Jesus used that this day. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have an abundance. But to him that hath not, he'll be taken away even that he has. What's going on here? Therefore, he said, I speak to them in parables. So they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Talking about us today, humanity today. You can hear something, but it doesn't register. It doesn't enlighten you. You don't know what it is. What are you going to do? Let's see what Jesus said. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith. Now he's going to quote from where we read. By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Now if you ever get to comparing what Jesus says here with what Isaiah says, you may get a little bit confused and say, well, that don't sound, it's different. Well, there's a reason for that. But both of them point to the same truth. The Hebrews, or the Isaiah is translated from the Hebrew language. Did you ever see the Hebrew language in print? How many of you have a Strong's Concordance? That's a wonderful book. I would advise anybody that wants to study the Bible, because that has the meaning of the words in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language. This here is translated from the Greek. That's why it's a little bit different. But it points to the same thing. For this people, verse 15, heart is waxed gross, dull, unable to grasp the meaning. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But then he said, but blessed be your eyes, or your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, in one of the other Gospels, the disciples ask him, what does this mean? What did this parable mean? And he told them, he says, to you it is given, but to them is not given. But I'm going to tell you what it means. And here he does. I like to read, personally, I like to read and combine Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. I like to put them together and compare them, because Luke will have some things to add that Mark didn't get a hold of, or Matthew. Matthew will have some things, but using them all three, it points a clearer picture. Okay, now, he's going to explain the meaning of his parable to his disciples. Well, what about these people out here? What are you going to do about them? Well, I gave them in parables. I've wondered about this, thought about it, studied about it, prayed about it, and asked the Lord to help me. Why is it that he did it this way? He did it a lot. He used parables over and over again. You take a little time and study it, you'll find out he used it a lot. Now I want to tell you something. Something that happened to me that opened this up. I was at the Guthrie camp meeting held in town. And I had a reel-to-reel recorder. And I take messages and services with that. I paid $200 for a reel-to-reel recorder. And I really enjoyed it for several years. Made lots of tapes. But one day we had a precious message from a Sister Eva Penner. She lived up at Fairview. She was a minister. She was a precious saint of God. And she got up and brought a message, and it was really precious, inspiring. And I was so glad that I went up and turned my recorder on, and I thought I had the message. And I was so glad. But after it was over, when I went to get the tape recorder ready for the next service, what did I find out? I found out my microphone wasn't plugged in. And that told me two things. That told me that I didn't get the message. And it also told me that I lost everything I had on the tape. And I remember it was just, they was taking prayer requests when I had come up to see about taking care of that tape recorder. And I was so stunned and so displeased with myself for not having my microphone plugged in, and that maybe I didn't get the message, and I lost what I had. I already had another message that I'd caught before, And I had heard that quite a bit, and I thought I'd go ahead and put this new message on top. I lost that, and I didn't get that was coming. And I remember I walked back to my seat, and it was about time to go to prayer. And I was stunned. And I got down on my knees, still thinking about it. And the Lord spoke to my heart with this scripture. To him that hath, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. I tell you what, that solemnized my heart. I thought I was getting the message, but I didn't have the connection. Did you know for you to get help from God, for you to get help from God, spiritual help, you've got to get a connection. I mean a spiritual connection. You got to have an open heart. You got to have your microphone plugged in your heart and soul. Otherwise, you won't get the message and you're liable to lose what you already have. A dull, insensitive, careless attitude, dear ones, will do you harm in your life. You know, going to service, reading the Bible, hearing testimonies and hearing the gospel preached is a serious matter. We need to be very earnestly concerned and attentive to that. We need to have a prayer-seeking heart to God. Lord, help me to understand. And not only that, but Lord, help me to put it in practice. Obey it. Otherwise, you got your mind on what you're going to do tomorrow or what you're going to do, or you got your mind on the dinner they're going to have fixed and you're wanting to eat, and it's all kinds of things you can have on your mind that will decoy the message that the Lord wants you to get. Here's that hearing event. You hear it, but you don't hear it. Think about that sometime. Study about that sometime. And Jesus explained to the disciples what that parable meant. Because they were his disciples and he was leading them and guiding them in their life to be workers for him after he'd been taken back to heaven. But they had left their nets, their fishes, they left their businesses, they left their homes, and they followed him around listening to him and working with him. They gave up. He counted them worthy and qualified to have it explained to them. Now then, I want to ask you. Suppose you and I or someone like you and I would have been in that crowd that was listening to Jesus with these parables. How would you have taken it? He just brought the parable about the seed and the sower and the seed and the different kinds of ground. And then whoever hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then walked off and went up. What would we have done? And at the same time, and in those same areas, you might say, they saw him heal people that were awful sick. cast out devils, open the blind eyes. They saw him heal and do what? They knew that he was the Son of God because of the power that he had. That was a witness. But this parable business, what's the deal? You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go up and talk to Jesus and ask him, what does all that mean, Master? Wouldn't you like to have heard that? There were the disciples, that's what they're doing, see. They're saying, tell us about this. What does this mean? And Jesus brought it out. That which is sown by the wayside are people that hear the word and the devil comes and takes it away from them. Brother, you better believe that. That's exactly how the devil works. The message can be preached. The word can be taught. The devil's right there to enter into your thoughts and take that away from you. And don't think he won't do it. If he has a chance, he will do it. I remember when I was a young boy coming up here at Guthrie in the congregation. I remember especially one Sunday morning, Brother Fred Pruitt, he was a man of God. He got up that morning and preached a message. You know what the best part of that message was to me? Is when I saw him close his Bible, I knew he's about finished. That's the best part of the message for me. I didn't get anything out of what he said. I wouldn't even remember what he preached on. What's the matter? It was me. My attitude. My interest was not toward things above. That's a sad thing. There are many like that today. I remember after I got saved that in 1956, 55 years ago, thank you, Jesus, I started out for the Lord. I was going to live for the Lord. And I'd go to service. I'd try to listen. I'd try to... I got me a Bible. I really worked at it. There was another young boy that I used to run around. He's one of the saints' children, and he'd come to camp meeting, and we'd run around, play, and this and that. Well, down at his congregation, in another congregation, they was having a meeting, having a revival meeting, and I went down there one evening with some of the other young people to be in the meeting. Well, I came in and I didn't want to sit on the back seat no more. I want to sit up on the front. Well, you say, what? How come you didn't want that? Well, I just wanted to be up where I could get the best out of the meeting. So I came on up and I sat on the front of the chapel that night. Well, while I was sitting there, here come this other young fella that we used to chum around with. He come in and he saw me sitting up there and he come right on up and sat by me. And I thought, oh no, I wonder what he's got in mind. Well, used to be, I won't tell you how I used to be. Used to be when prayer time would come, we'd be down on our knees, but we'd be talking to one another. That's the way we do. We wouldn't be entering into the prayer. We're down on our knees, but we were entering into the prayer. That's sad. Well, I thought, we'll see what happens whenever we get down to pray. And sure enough, when we got down to pray, this boy, he... What's he been doing? I looked at him and I said, I'm going to pray. I didn't say it out loud. I said, I'm going to pray. I tell you, dear ones, how earnest and how sincere are we before God? Do you want to get the message? Do you want to get the truth? Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to have a vision of Him? Do you want to have victory? Do you want to have salvation? You're not going to get it by just playing along. You're going to have to get down to business and seek the Lord with all your heart. That's what I did, and I thank God that it's paid off in my life. I tell you, I love to hear God's Word. I've got my ears open and my heart open. And I like to have my Bible follow those Scriptures. You ought to do that. Get you a Bible. Don't let it be just entertainment. That's not what we're here for. We're dealing with eternal things. Think about it. To him that hath shall be given, and he'll have abundance. But to him that hath not. Now you can know, if you study this, you can know what he's talking about. To him that hath. Hath, it doesn't say what. It just says to him that hath, to him shall be given. Have what? What could we say that we need to have so that we'll receive the blessings and be given? What do we need to have? An open mind. A willing. I remember my wife's mother, when we used to have young people's meeting when we lived here in Guthrie. We had young people's meeting in our house. And one day, we had my wife's mother with us for several years. And she had a little lesson for the young people. And I'll never forget it. And she brought out the things that we need to have. And the first one was a hearing ear. The next one was a seeing eye. The next one was an open mind. The next one was a believing heart. And the last one was, there were those five things, the last one was a faithful, obedient doer. Did you get those? A hearing ear, a seeing eye. Now, I'm not talking about these floppy ears here, or these ears. This shouldn't call them floppy, but getting kind of old, I guess. A seeing eye, not these literal eyes, spiritual eyes. An open mind, a believing heart, and an obedient action dwelling. That's what we need. All right, I want to go now to Hebrews chapter 3 and read something. May the Lord help us here today. Lord, just freshly inspired me with this. I just thank the Lord. I love the inspiration and blessings of the Holy Spirit in our services. And I pray that the Lord will help. And I'm thinking about all of us here, but I'm thinking especially, my heart's concerned and heavy for our young people. In Hebrews 3, I want to read a little bit here. He speaks about Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest of our profession. Verse 2 said, he was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was. and how that this man was accounted worthy of more glory than Moses. For he who builds the house has more honor than the house. And verse 5 says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which shall be more to be spoken after. But Christ, now listen, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if... What does that little word if mean? Conditions. Special conditions required. Christ as a son over his own house, his own people, his own disciples, whose house are we if we do what? We hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We are his house if we will hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing and hope firm unto the end. Hold on to it. Determination. Now listen. He's going to quote a scripture now from the old, from Psalms. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That is from Psalms 95. You can find it back there. Tells how great and wonderful God is. Tells how good he is and all. But then it says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. In the day of temptation, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts. They haven't known my ways. Therefore I swore unto them, ye shall not enter into my rest. Go back to Psalm 95 and read that. And then he's quoting that here. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This has happened so many times down through the years. People have started out for the Lord, but then they allow their hearts to be hardened. Dull. Not interested. Not seeking the Lord earnestly. And they lose their hearing. Ability. It doesn't mean anything to them. They've got other things on their mind. They got pleasures. They got money. They've got horses. They got motorcycles. Amen. That's the truth. Nothing wrong with those things if you can use them in the right way. But they can just so involve your heart and mind to dull you to the things of God. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know what happened to those Israelites? They saw God work in Egypt, performing miracles with those signs and wonders. They saw him open up the Red Sea to let them by. They saw him provide bread, the manna. They saw him send in, those birds? Why? They saw him do all that. But now they come up to the place, and that's talking about that place when it's time to go over into the land of Canaan that God was going to give to them. And it's time for them to go, and God told Moses, said, I want you to send 12 men over and spy out the land. I remember one time I was asking myself, I said, why did they have to go out and go spy the land? Because it had a bad effect. Why did they do that? And somebody, I was talking to somebody, they said, well, said the Lord told them to do it. Oh, well, he did, didn't he? He told them to go and send 12 men out and spy out the land. One man from every tribe. Okay, now have you ever read the account of that? What happened? They came back, 10 of the spies brought back an evil report. The other two, Joshua and Caleb, brought back an encouraging report that God is able to help us. But the others said, there's big walled cities and the giants over there that make us look like grasshoppers. They weren't that little. They weren't that big. No, those giants weren't that big. But that's the way they put it. Make us look like grasshoppers. Big walled cities. They got a lot of good things over there, but we can't get them out of that. We can't do it. And you know those 10 spies, you know what they did? They swayed the whole congregation. The whole bunch of Israelites that had been all down through the desert and wilderness and come up, they persuaded them and turned against Moses and Joshua and Caleb. That's what he's talking about here. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers proved me, tempted me, and saw my works for 40 years, they hardened their hearts against me. They cried and moaned and moaned and groaned all night. They got up the next morning, and the Lord said to Moses, get away, back off, I'm going to take care of these people. That's sad. Ever read that? I'm going to destroy these people. Moses said, no, Lord, no, no, no. No, don't do that. If you destroy them and everybody hear about them perishing out here, then they'd think you wasn't able to take them in. So the Lord, he prevailed with the Lord. The Lord said, all right, Moses, I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to let them go into my land. You just turn them around and take them right back to the wilderness. And did you know how many people of the, there were 600,000 footmen besides the women and children that left Egypt? Did you know how many of those people that left Egypt came into the Canaan land? Put your fingers up. How many? Two. Everybody else perished in the wilderness. Why? Because they hardened their hearts. They drew back in unbelief. That's why he's talking about here in Hebrews 4. 3 and 4. Hear his voice. Have you heard the voice of God? I'm so glad I heard his voice and I answered his voice. I wasn't quite 18 when I made up my mind to give up my worldly ways and worldly things and give my heart to live for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I made that choice. It wasn't easy. There were some things I was attracted to out in the world was hard to give up. But I was meant business. And I gave my heart to the Lord. And I'm not bragging or putting forth a boast, but I'm just telling you the truth. That's what I've done. That's the kind of life I've lived. And I've had a happy life. God gave me a godly, sweet, wonderful, beautiful wife. He gave us a happy home. He's blessed us. He's been with us through the years. But it's because we yielded to him and we sought after him. I have seen people, I have known other young people in my time, and you look back at them, what do they have today? They didn't live for the Lord, and they've got trouble untold. I've got a little more here, if you want to tarry with me. I want to notice a text in Romans 10. Still talking about hearing. Lord help us. Give us an ear to hear. Romans 10. All right, let's see. I want to start at verse 12. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's from Hosea chapter 2 and 32. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? And now he's going to quote from Isaiah 52. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Then verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Having an ear to hear. Not just these literal ears, but having a heart ear. Open your heart. Don't close your heart and don't harden your heart, but open your heart to the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by God's word. Hearing it with your heart. Hearing it with a prayerful desire. Now listen. But I say, have they not heard? What's he asked this question for? Have they not heard? Now listen, I want you to notice this next thought. Have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Where'd that come from? Where is he quoting from? You know? Anybody know? What? Psalm 19. Let's go back there and see where he quotes this. Notice he's asked the question, have they not heard? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Have they not heard? Yes, they have. Verily, truly, they have. Then he quotes this scripture. Let's go to Psalms 19 and see how it says it. I want to go, let's see here. I want to read the verse, start the first verse. Now listen to this. This is a wonderful chapter in Psalms. I want to encourage you to study this. It's wonderful. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, or day after day. Every day it utters speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lie is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. See, that's what he quoted. Have they not heard? Yes, they've heard. Their lying has gone out. What's he talking about here? The heavens declare the glory of God. That's something speaking to us. Did you ever look at the moon? Do you believe the moon just happened to be? Oh, it just happened. This happened and that happened and then it... Oh, poor people that would believe such lies like that. That moon was placed there by a wise, intelligent, gracious, loving, kind, merciful, wonderful God. He put it there. It makes our moon. Our months, I mean. Month. That's what the word month means. It means month. Month. Starts out just a thin crescent. Well, it starts out really in the dark. You can't hardly see it. Can you see it? Then it starts showing, and every night it's a little bigger. And then after a while, it's about halfway, and they call that the first quarter. And then it goes on, and after a while, it comes up in the evening, a beautiful full moon. Now, do you believe God created that? What's it telling us? What is that moon telling us? Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. It's speaking to us. There's a God Almighty that created it. I don't have to go up there. I just look at it and I hear the voice of the Lord speaking to me and say, I am the Almighty God. I put it there for you. And I just love the moon. I really do. I welcome it every month. It's just, I'm watching for it to, and when it gets out of sight, I'm watching for it to start coming as a little thin crescent in the west. You ever do that? What else do you see in the heavens that is a message to us? What about the sun? Do you believe God created the sun? Oh, I tell you, dear ones, you can't hardly look at the sun full in the face. It's too bright. But I try, and I look up. Oh, God, thank you for the sun. Where would we be without the sun? You wouldn't be. If there wasn't any sun up there, you wouldn't be able to live. 5 minutes. The sun gauges everything. The sun gauges the weather. The reason why we got cold weather now is because the Lord has the sun to be gone down and hanging way down toward the south. It's not right directly over us. But now, it's going to start getting a little, each day gets a little longer. You think that that just happened to me? No. What's it saying to us? It is telling us that God is good. God is gracious. God is almighty. God is the creator. How about you? Where did you come from? Oh, I just happened to be. Oh, you know better than that. God created you. God designed you. Psalms 139 says, what does it say? He knew us before we were brought forth. He knew it. In his book, all our members were written. God created you. God is good. I look at that sun and I think, oh, you're beautiful. They say it's 90 million miles away. And if it gets too close, it'll burn us up. And if it gets too far away, it will freeze to death. So it's just at the right place. You ever like that song, "O Lord my God, and I in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds your hands have made. I see the stars." That's something else. I love to think and look at the stars. "I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe is displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great you are. How good you are. I'm so glad that I sought him in my youth. I'm so glad I sought after him. He revealed himself to me. He's blessed my life. I'm so happy in the Lord." Their line has gone out to all lands, to all the world. Their words to the ends of the earth. It's everywhere. You can see the stars. You can see the moon. You can see the sun just about anywhere you go. I know up there in the north in Alaska and all, they have the sometimes when the sun's in the sky all the time, and then sometimes they don't have it at all. But that's God's doing. God created it. What about the air you breathe? Would you like to be without any air? I don't want to. I like the air. I'm thankful I can breathe air. Where'd it come from? God made it. God gave. God fashioned us with lungs. We have to breathe. Oh, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalms 139 said. Let's not close our hearts. Let's hear the gospel preached by the heavens and look at all the animals and the birds and the flowers and the grains and the fruits and vegetables. What do you think of when you eat a nice good old golden banana? What do you think? Yummy, yummy, yummy. It sure is good. Do you ever think about who designed it? You ever think about that? Oh no, it just happened to me. Just happened to me? God designed every one of those. Apples, oranges, peaches, plums, pears, pineapple, grapefruit, grapes, dates, figs. All of these things God designed them for us. They didn't just happen to be. Look at the cows and the horses and the dogs and the cats and the mice and the rats and all these. Isn't God a wonderful God? I want to serve Him. I want Him to be revealed to my heart. That's where you can really know Him. When you seek after Him and He responds and works with you in your heart and mind, brother, that's when He becomes real. Let's give a listening ear to the Word of God in our heart and open our eyes, and the Lord will bless our souls, bless our lives. Amen.